Around the 1st of August, I shared with you that we had some roof leaks in this building, and it turned out after, and by the time I announced it, by the way, the bids had already come in for roof repair, and we are now replacing this entire side of the sanctuary. It really doesn't cover the A-frame at all. It's just leaking around that side of the building, and so now the choir has a new roof. It's being fixed this week, and we put a new roof over Stephanie Carson's head, a new roof over the nursery and the toddler room, and they did some patching here, but we think we may be able to keep the A-frame as it is, and because of the angle, it may give us some more time before it ever has to be replaced. All in saying, during the month of August, we spent $15,000 on the roof repair, put in a new AC for the preschool before the preschool began. That's another $6,000. Did some other work here and there, and so about $25,000 just on maintenance of the building, and all which was done using funds from the current operating fund, the current giving of the church, without going into any kind of reserves or investments. And that's a wonderful thing to talk about when we think about stewardship in the church and our giving. And so I thank you for your giving, and for those who've been away who were catching up after being away in the summer. Thank you so very much. It's a good report. And the treasurer, Lou Weislogel, asked me to mention that this morning. Also, we were able, through funds set aside for a vision fund, we had a plan some time ago to put in security cameras, and we now have security cameras throughout the hallways in this building. We can see during the week anyone that comes through the doors. It's all recorded, and so in the coming weeks, you may see signs outside that say this building is secured by video cameras and monitored, and that's for all of our protection, especially the children in the preschool. And we thought you should know that as well. The sermon this morning is entitled, Do You Need an Attitude Adjustment? It's from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. I did go back and check, and I have a tendency every 5 years to preach on this particular passage. It is a passage I find myself drawn to much more often than that, indeed regularly, monthly. These verses have been called some of the best mental health advice that's found in the Bible, and I think that's true with the exception of many of the Psalms and the teachings of Jesus, and I could go on and on, but it's good advice. And so listen as I read in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and in all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and being in need. And then the great verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let us pray as we come to the message. O God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds this day that we may, as Scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, that we may be led by your truth and live by your will. This we pray in the name of our risen Lord Jesus. Amen. I was privileged a number of years ago to observe and listen to two older women. They were sisters, and they were just a delight when I knew them. One was a youthful 93-year-old, And she was talking at the time to her 97-year-old sister, Margaret. They both lived in a retirement home, and the older sister had become ill and had been moved to the health care center, and the younger sister visited her older sister every day for a lengthy time. Margaret, it turned out, was in a bed in one of those rooms that was separated by a drawn curtain. You know about those rooms. And, of course, the curtain is never fully drawn, and sometimes it can't be fully drawn. It doesn't stretch that far, and that little curtain is hardly soundproof. And the woman in the next bed to Margaret, she had begun yelling sporadically for no reason. And it was embarrassing, and it was also unnerving. And so the two sisters one day began planning what they would do next. At first, they thought about moving her sister Margaret to another room altogether. That would be my first thought. But then Margaret thought about it, and with a quiet smile, she said these words, "Better to bear the ills we have than to fly to others we know not of." She was quoting Hamlet at 97. And what was remarkable was not that she was quoting Hamlet at 97 years of age. What was remarkable is she was quoting it to the exact situation that it fit, and that she was choosing her attitude in that situation. She was taking charge with her mind, even though she had limited control of her situation. She was choosing her attitude. And then the younger sister, you remember I said she was 93 years old, she said with some feeling, and I quote, she said, "What has been helpful to me, sister, are often the words of John Milton. The mind is its own place, and of itself it can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven." And I thought, that's it. There's a sermon for the future. The power of an attitude chosen, which can color all of our lives and actually change life. I want you to let this idea roam among all your experiences this morning. First, let's think about our happiness. We tend to think of happiness that it will come when all the external circumstances are just right. That's the way we think of happiness. Oh, if this were just done, everything would be perfect. You might try to finish this sentence quietly. I would be happy if what? I listened at the second service as I asked them to turn and say that to one another, and you know what I heard? I'll tell you some of the things I heard. I wish I were married. I didn't hear it, but someone must have thought it. I wish I were single. I wish I didn't have some illness. I wish I were perfectly healthy. I wish I had a new cell phone. I wish I didn't have a cell phone. Most of all, you see, we imagine I would be happy if I could just be in a situation where there were no trouble, no sorrow, no grief, no world issue or panic or storm. But these are all flawed thoughts, flawed thinking. Why? Well, first of all, there is only one place, only one, where there is no stress, no trouble at all. You know where that is. That is the grave and beyond. It is unrealistic to believe or to purport that there is such a thing with a life with no problems at all. Every life has challenges and problems. Secondly, we often assume that a big change in our outer circumstances can bring us happiness. That's the way we tend to think. And so we dream that someday we will be filled with contentment, and that when we retire, we will move to Florida, we will live in a condominium and have a pool and live close to the beach, and everything will be perfect. No problems. But the truth is, happiness is not found in exterior circumstances. Happiness, and many of you know this, happiness is an inside job, isn't it? An inside job. It has to do with the attitudes that we choose, with the thoughts that we select, with the way we choose to look and view life. It has everything to do with making a choice. It was Abraham Lincoln who once said, "A person is about as happy as he or she chooses to be." I think that's true. But what did he mean by that exactly? Lincoln surely didn't mean that life was all sweetness and all light. Lincoln was a very complicated man. He lived through enormous stresses as president during the Civil War. He had a difficult marriage. It is believed he suffered from terrible depression, and we know now from studying his face that he had some sort of skeletal growth that made his chin and cheeks an odd shape and would have gotten worse had he lived. Lincoln was not a person to give a cheerful earful to someone. That wasn't Lincoln. He wasn't someone to simply suggest, "Whistle while you work and everything will be fine, time will pass, things will get better." He did not simply say, "Just think happy thoughts and everything will work out." That was not Abraham Lincoln. I believe what Lincoln was saying is that we need to take charge of our thinking at any age and stage of life, so that our attitudes are positive and healthy and constructive and benefit not only ourselves but others that we interact with. Would you believe me if I said this, that the way we look at what happens to us is more important than what actually happens? Do you believe that? The way we look at what happens to us is more important than what actually happens. Some people become bitter and angry, even resentful with the complexities that come in life and in our world. There are others who face similar challenges, and yet we find them more open, more caring, more open to God, in fact. Those with constructive attitudes are often more content when life, even though it's not always happy, and even though circumstances are not always perfect, we find many people have constructive attitudes in spite of troubles. We choose our attitudes. Consider the matter of health. There is more and more evidence to suggest that science is now just looking at the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the connection between the body and the mind. There is general acceptance today that one's attitude is crucial to preventive medicine and good health. Medical journals have documented repeatedly nowadays that those whose attitudes are positive and creative, who visualize and who expect bodily health, recover from surgery and physical difficulties more quickly than those who expect to be sick and those who let stress take over. 90% of the things we worry about never happen. Hurricane Dorian. It didn't happen to us. But let me be clear, all disease can't be cured or avoided by just our attitudes. It would be absurd to suggest that that's the case. And yet, even in dying, healing can happen in our inner spirit. In other words, good can be wrestled out of illness and even facing death. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her book, Death, the Final Stage of Growth, an excellent book, by the way, she writes that we can grow in our spirits and ourselves even in the last days if we choose. The key, she writes, is our attitude. It is the desire to make that time when it comes a time of growth in spirit and a time of celebration. It's also true of just getting older. I can't tell you how many Sundays I stand in the back by that door and people come by and they chuckle and they say, "Pastor, it's hell getting old." I'll be honest with you, as my wife Joyce and I spent the last few weeks on vacation in Colorado, we spent time hiking up those picturesque mountains on trails that I couldn't imagine were there before. And we even went into those beautiful ancient Pueblo dwellings in Mesa Verde National Park and climbed up the cliffs there as those people did hundreds of years ago. But I felt old. I had difficulty often getting my breath and discovered I had some altitude sickness from that experience. I often had to stop when we were walking. I never have to stop when I walk here on the causeway. Joyce asked me, I think she was trying to get my mind off my trying to get air. She said, "What are you preaching the first Sunday you're back?" And I said, "Well, I'm preaching, do you need an attitude adjustment? But I'm thinking about changing that to, do you need an altitude adjustment?" Because I do. The point is, most people think that getting old is just about losing abilities and everything else. Losing family, losing the ability to drive, losing one's balance, one's independence, one's health, the ability to walk. And there was one more thing I wanted to mention. Oh, we tend to forget as we get older. I've done that now in all three services, and I can't explain why. Loss of memory. But everyone knows that getting old isn't for sissies. But remember the other side of getting old, how often we forget. It's the accumulation of memories, of treasures. Joyce likes to shop. She's an artist and visual designer, and so as we were in Steamboat Springs one week, I encouraged her a Tuesday and Wednesday morning one week to go shopping, and I would go trout fishing in the river. And so I got a license. I wanted to be legal, and I had a wonderful time fishing for these big, beautiful rainbow trout. And after one morning, all morning in the river, I pulled out my phone from that little plastic bag you carry when you go out in the water, and I called her and I said, "Why don't you shop for another hour and I'll buy whatever you want?" And there was one giant trout, a beautiful rainbow trout, and I called her just so I could make about 75 more casts. And every time that beautiful trout followed the line all the way in, but never struck. Which is to say, the best memories remain. The next time, if I ever have to go and have another MRI, I will be fishing for that hour, watching that trout come again and again. Beautiful. You can see life, you see, in terms of losses, or you can see it in terms of gracious accumulations of memories of every love that you've loved, you never forget. Every sunset you've seen, you never forget. I love to tell the story, especially after reading about some of these archaeologists and the digs at Mesa Verde and those beautiful cliff dwellings of the Pueblo Indians. I thought about Agatha Christie, because her second husband was an archaeologist, Lord Mallowan. And I love that story because someone asked Agatha Christie once what it was like to be married to an archaeologist, and she said, "Oh, it's wonderful." She said, "The older that I get, the more interested in me he becomes." That should be true of every one of us, that the older we become, the more interesting we should be, because the experience of passing years has deepened and enriched us to be a blessing to others. See this truth also, finally, in our spiritual lives. The Apostle Paul said it so clearly: choose thoughts that are healthy, He said, focus on whatever is true, whatever is honorable. If there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and the peace of God will be with you. I find that so true. Because we should not forget that what we continue to think about, it becomes reinforced again and again in our minds and hearts. And this is why there is such a problem in the world with pornography. Or with stereotyping others, or the habit of demeaning others, or judging the decisions and guessing the motives of others. That's such a bad habit. The other side is we can choose to think highly of men, highly of children and women, and choose to focus on beautiful art and poetry and the reading of Scripture and the music that we sing here and enjoy it, and then our lives will become more beautiful. It's as simply as saying that which Milton thought of. We can choose heaven or we can choose hell in what we think. And this is, of course, what the Apostle Paul did in Philippians 4. He's writing about Jesus Christ to the Philippian community. And he's writing not from an air-conditioned study. He's writing from a dirty, rat-infested prison. And yet he still writes in joy. He writes not as a prisoner, but as one who sees the glory of life through Jesus Christ. That's the point. You remember that Two Little Line poem? Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. What did the other see? Stars. The Apostle Paul looked out of those bars and he saw the risen Jesus Christ glorified in all of life. And this is what we do here every single Sunday. To grow in our faith is what we seek to do. To gather together to get our minds as well as our hearts focused on the God we know in Christ again and again. An attitude adjustment perhaps is what we need. And so I say to you, don't see yourselves as a victim. Don't blame others for the problems in your life. Don't blame your circumstances for not being happy. Instead, ask God to help you take charge of all of your life, including what you think about all day long. In other words, welcome into your mind positive, beautiful, healthy, gracious thoughts. Let them reinforce your body and mind with those kind of thoughts. And if you welcome them into your mind, the Scripture this morning promises that God will expand them all through your life. And so I say to you, choose your attitudes carefully. May we do just that. Amen.